listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
People are really excited about current brain research. We're finding out how the brain actually works when we feel emotions or we learn new ideas or we enjoy our relationships. And we're also finding that things we've long been told by various spiritual traditions and psychics are correct, even though those people didn't have modern brain research to back them up at the time. So what an interesting time to talk about what we call psychic. Is being psychic a bit of science fiction, or can it be backed up and explained by what we know as scientific fact? This is the focus of today's show as I talk with Karen Storstein, who is a psychic psychotherapist and a management consultant. Welcome to Full Power Living. We aim to make your life easier by helping you understand the power and importance of human emotions expressed through our wide variety of guests and programs. We broadcast over Blog Talk Radio, EmotionalPro.com, and we also distribute through iTunes. And we have a toll-free number, 888-498-0570, and we welcome questions and interaction with us, especially on today's show. So Karen Storstein is known for her rare combination of talents as a psychic psychotherapist, a management consultant, an executive coach, a medium, and a public speaker. In the last 25 years, she's educated and entertained hundreds of thousands of people. She's turned around Fortune 500 companies, counseled people through difficult life transitions, found missing people, and solved murder cases. She's a radio regular on several FM, AM, and worldwide internet radio stations, and one of her greatest talents is connecting people to loved ones on the other side. She also helps callers through difficult love, work, and life issues, which certainly is a relevant thing to do today as we talk about, are you psychic, and is it science fiction or science fact? So you can find her on the web at either Karen's Insight, K-A-R-E-N-S, Insight.com, or KarenStorstein.com, and that's K-A-R-E-N-S-T-O-R-S-T-E-E-N, and we'll put those up on the chat. So, Karen Storstein, welcome to Full Power Living.
Oh, thank you, Eileen, and what a great introduction, and it's fun to be here. I love this topic.
I'll bet you do. So let's dive right in that case. When we're talking about psychic mediumship, what exactly are we talking about?
Well, you know, the word psychic actually has gotten a bad rap, and all it means is of the soul. And in being psychic, we're all psychic because we're all of, we all have souls. And traditionally, we think of psychic as people, and in my case, this is true, who have a sixth sense or primary sense, and who can connect with others as an empath. So I'm telepathic, where I have heart-to-heart connections and really can feel into the world of another. As a psychic, I can also, and we can all do this, read into the future, which I know sounds crazy, but time's really an illusion. And we can also connect with consciousness on the other side. So people who have passed and connecting with divine guidance. And again, we all have this ability. And I tend to think of psychic as on the same spectrum as using our intuition. It's just really turning up the volume.
Uh-huh. Okay. That makes sense to me. I had always understood the whole thing about psychic as being about things that were hidden, things that we didn't usually see. And that. But I like your definition. So when you're saying that you're a psychic medium and it's about turning it up, then it's more the way I would relate to it anyway, it's like a talent that somebody has. You know, some people are good at singing and some aren't, and some are good at talking to souls and some are not. Do you know about the most recent brain research in terms of what happens with our brain when we allow ourselves to be psychic?
Yes, and you're right, actually, with what you said with your definition about being able to sense what we traditionally can't see. I think when we practice using our intuition, that it almost feels like what we traditionally consider as a sixth sense, a five sense. And really, before I get into the brain science, just to pick up on your point of what we can't see, you know, before science we thought was sort of that Newtonian science where something doesn't exist unless we can see it, you know, even if it's under a microscope. But we know through quantum physics that that everything is energy and that we can sense that energy. Just like, you know, when you might have, you might be facing in one direction and for some reason you just sense that a stranger or someone might be staring at you and all of a sudden you turn around and there they are. Mm-hmm. So with respect to the neuroscience and neuroplasticity that I'm sure you're familiar with, but a lot of people aren't familiar with it because what we've learned about neuroscience is relatively new. And basically what we found is that when we're using our intuitive intelligence, that we're using our highest form of brain functioning. And when we use it, we tap into that intuition that all of the intelligences kick in and line up at the same time. So social, emotional, practical, analytical, and creative intelligences all line up. And we know that the converse of that is when we're stressed out, which literally causes us to shrink that higher brain functioning, leaving the primitive brain, which is, of course, in charge of the fight, flight, or freeze response. So we now know that using our intuitive intelligence is really using our highest form of intelligence.
And literally, I mean, some studying I've been doing recently is about using the whole brain, and that sounds like that's descriptive of that. We use all of the areas and, you know, line them all up, kind of like lining up molecules in a piece of iron, making it a magnet. That's interesting.
That's just right, Eileen. And what we would see if we looked at the brain, we would see that it's receiving balanced oxygen, that it's receiving oxygen and balanced blood flow. And you're exactly right that it's really about using the whole brain. And we now know that we can literally expand our brain and we can reorganize it and integrate higher brain function. We didn't know that prior to about 15 years ago. So it's amazing what we now know.
So
what were you going to say?
Well, that's what we know scientifically, and yet now, how long ago was I introduced to this area? Probably close to 40 years ago. Of course, I live in the San Francisco Bay Area. We have a lot of opportunity here, and it seems to me that I lost what I was going to say. That's what happened here. But anyway,
about the 40 years ago.
Yeah, I was. Never mind. I can't even think of it here. We'll have to cut this part out. Sorry for those of you who are listening. I know. I was talking about brain research, and the fact that people who have worked in the psychic realm without maybe necessarily knowing exactly how the brain works, they've still trusted that this is what was happening. Is that correct?
Yes. And I know, Eileen, that you're really intuitive too. And for me, I've always been highly psychic and so are my children. And so, you know, when people have asked my daughter, for example, you know, we were filming for a show last year and people were like, well, you know, what is this like? How did this happen for you? And she's like, I can't even explain that because it's something that I've always had. And so for me, especially being a management consultant where I'm in there reorganizing companies and doing executive coaching, I thought for me to come out of the closet with this, I'm going to really have to explain how it works and to the best of my ability. And I was just so curious about how it works because when we're really tuned into this intuitive world, it's like we're tuned into the extraordinary and my life just feels miraculous. It's like daily, ordinary, extraordinary miracles. And so I don't have all the answers, but I think it's so fascinating about what's possible. And I totally agree with what you were saying earlier too, Eileen, about the fact that, yes, you know, we all have this ability, but just like some people are more coordinated or better singers, some people are born more with the predominance of this having this ability, and also our environment affects us in terms of, you know, our parents and our spiritual beliefs. And so a lot of people who might have been born with a high predisposition to intuition, they may have had to turn it off because it wasn't part of their family makeup. In my family, we were taught to have very expansive minds, and I didn't know this actually till my mom passed, but she studied psychic ability at UCLA back in the 60s.
Wow.
So, yeah, I know. So, so my family, my mother predominantly was very open to this, but my dad was a fabulous scientist, and I was brought up with Einstein's theory. So all of that, and that very expansive way of thinking, so all of that really, really helped in terms
wow.
of increasing that. Yeah.
So not only
talent.
Were you born, where did you arrive with these psychic abilities and had them, and room was made for them is the way I would see that, but you actually grew up in an atmosphere where you had both sides. You had both the psychic and the scientific. I think that's really great. That must really have helped you to balance a lot of stuff.
It absolutely did, and really that, you know, anything is possible. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I mentioned Einstein, that my dad taught me Einstein's theory in second grade until like 2 in the morning. So he was quite eccentric. And but one of the things that I've learned in studying Einstein, I mean, Einstein talked about the thought experiments where he would go into different states of consciousness, a meditative state, and he would get all of this information intuitively, and then he would explain it through science and numbers, what he knew intuitively. So,
mm-hmm.
and obviously he knew anything was possible too. You know, imagination
mm-hmm.
is more important than knowledge. And, you know, also, Eileen, it's important to note, and I know that you practice transpersonal psychology as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
So, you know, for the listening audience, that's about also the development of the soul. And so when I look at someone's makeup, you know, it's not only, of course, our genetic makeup and our environment, but also our soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that, that, you know, for highly attuned psychic people, they may have been around for quite a while.
Well, now it's interesting, you know, when you talked about becoming a management consultant, and as I was contemplating on today's show, I was remembering back in the, maybe late 70s, early 80s, where I was increasingly using what I had learned as spiritual principle as part of my therapy work. And the therapy work was getting to be more miraculous and easier to do, and the changes that people made were more lasting and so forth. But I very much felt like I was in the closet, because my understanding was that the licensing body here in California, if I said, I'm a psychic psychotherapist, I would have lost my license. And what I did
mm-hmm.
is I invited Helen Wambach, who was a very well-known psychologist who taught courses on past life regression, and I publicly held a workshop in my office to get myself to come out of the closet as a therapist who is transpersonally oriented. What have you had to go through to, do people react to you when you acknowledge these capacities, or do they flock to you because of them?
You and I have a similar experience with all of that. And it's kind of ridiculous that, here we are, we're all intuitive. It's about using our highest level of intelligence, but that somehow, the license is going to be taken away as a psychotherapist. You must not be in your right mind if you're thinking this way. I'll answer your question in just a second, but I have a client, and he's in a master's program. He's Mensa. He's genius, right? Mm-hmm. And he's telling me about this class he's taking in decision making, and the textbook says clearly, do not use your intuition.
Oh my gosh!
And in decision making, and so it's I know we need to rethink this, but yet Harvard did a study. And they said that 80% of all leaders and executives credit their success to their intuition. So I think things are changing. And, with respect to me personally, of course you get both sides, but I do think that consciousness is on the increase. And I know that stress is ridiculously high. And I know that people are really looking for clarity, and they're looking for peace of mind. And let's face it, none of us have time to waste time making poor decisions. I've never heard anybody say, oh, I wish I hadn't listened to my intuition. That was a bad idea. So what happened for me is when I really started coming out of the closet and doing big radio and that kind of thing, and facing my worst fear, I said, it's worth me doing this because I'm helping people really listen to their soul, listen to their spirit, express their spirit, and that is and really normalizing the psychic sciences so that we all know that, you can have the right answer right now, and it's like downloading it from a database. There's nothing mm-hmm. faster or more productive. And so when I started coming out of the closet, the wonderful thing was that I ended up having all these executives coming to my office and asking me to use my intuition to help them with their employees, to ask them about what their board was thinking, what they needed to do to better service their customers. I started teaching classes. I would redesign the product development process, and I would teach classes on intuition so that executives, or not just executives, but people in the product development life cycle, which is almost everybody in the organization, by the way, could envision products for salespeople to be able to better understand what their prospects' needs are and to be more intuitive. And so, I would explain the science and normalize it. And so I think that, I'm hoping that people have an open mind to what's possible with them, because the power within this and within each one of us is so grand that to me it would be sad for people not to open up to it. And so I really, in a way, I had to kind of leave my ego at the door and say, this is the right thing to do, and I'm going to do it. And I'm glad I did, and I'm sure that some people who don't understand may think they don't even want to venture into it,
Yeah.
But most people, I find, are very curious, and they gain a lot from it.
Right. Years ago, I had a client who told me he was a vice president of a huge corporation, and I met with him for therapy a few times, and finally one day I said to him, I'm sorry, I may be prejudiced here, but you don't strike me as a vice president of a corporation. You just don't fit the mold. What's your background, right? And it turned out that for years he had taught at a psychic institute. And he looked around and realized that all these people with wonderful psychic abilities were poor. And he didn't know if you could utilize your psychic abilities to be successful in business or to make money. So he started at the ground level. I think he was parking trucks or something for this corporation and managed to work his way up till he was a vice president. And so I said, okay, so you're psychic and now you're in the company. How do you deal with your psychic? And he said, well, I see pictures. And so I'm in the boardroom and we're talking about an idea and all I have to do is say, picture this and tell them what I see. I just loved it.
Well, and you know, it's really, you know, sometimes you think, oh, well, and there's certain industries that would be more open to this than others, you know, more creative industries and all that. But actually, I haven't found that to be true at all. I've been, I've spoken to the Finance Association, the Safety Association, Project Management Institute, president of the bank who sent all their employees to see me on a personal basis for intuitive reads. So,
wow.
So and I think it's what you were saying about the senior vice president who sees in pictures that, you know, we all receive psychic information differently based on our predominant learning style. So, if you're a more visual learner, you'll tend to see information in pictures. And if you're an auditory person, you might hear information sort of in your ear, you know, auditorily. And if you're kinesthetic, you'll feel the information. So and it's also interesting that oftentimes for visual people that oftentimes will receive the information metaphorically too, because there's a lot of information in a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
So like if somebody is stuck, I might see peanut butter, or if somebody's trying to iron out something, I might see an iron.
Get it.
So, yeah, so it's very interesting how, and we need to learn, you know, when I teach the classes, I help people understand how they receive it now. And the more you use your intuitive abilities, the more you'll receive it in all, through all methods.
Okay, it's time for us to take a break. But when we come back, I want to just have you go one step further and talk about how a person knows what they're receiving is accurate. So,
that's a good question.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm talking today with Karen Storstein. She's a very successful management and business consultant who's also a psychic and a psychic psychotherapist. And we're going to be talking about predicting the future when we come back here on Full Power Living. Difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want, to take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes, or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com. All right, welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. Next week, we have another take on our brain when I interview Renee Molin Masters on ideas in her book, You Are Smarter Than You Think, Using Your Brain the Way It Was Designed. And she's addressing the way we learn even as students and as students of life also. I don't know about you, but even when I was a straight-A master's degree student at the University of California in Berkeley, I persisted in believing I wasn't very smart. And it turns out, based on what I've been reading in Renee's book, that I hadn't learned to use my brain the way it worked best for me. And therefore, I was struggling. Even though I was making good grades, I still didn't always remember in a week or two what it was that I had studied. And so be sure to join me next Thursday, November 6th. It's November already, 9 a.m. Pacific time, to get answers about how you can be smarter, how you are smarter. Also, things are heating up at the CCFL Global Academy online, where 31 experts on life, family living, emotions, and parenting have come together to provide you with the help you need to keep your life on track for a nominal fee of less than $30 a month. I want you to check our chats in a couple of minutes. I'll put this up for the URL to check out this Global Academy. I'm one of those 31 founding experts, and I'm sharing my expertise in emotions and also, as our ad just indicated, on ending codependence. So you can become an initial member of the CCFL Global Academy today, and I think you'll be very glad that you did. You can go to emotionalpro.com to sign up for our mailing list so we can send you biweekly announcements of upcoming Full Power Living programs. Psychic psychotherapist, management consultant, executive coach, medium, and public speaker Karen Storstein is my guest today. We're talking about, are you psychic? So, Karen, before we took our break, I posed the question. I heard you say that when you work with your intuition, your sixth sense, your psychic ability, however you want to label it, the more you work with it, the easier it is. But how do you know what to trust?
That is a great, great question, because people always ask me, they'll say, Karen, I don't know if it's my imagination or my intuition. And one of the things that I say back is, well, where do you think your imagination comes from? Maybe a better question for people to ask is it my intuition or is it my ego speaking? And the ego, as you know, really focuses on sometimes the fear or wishful thinking gets in the way. And so what we're really talking about is, really listening to that inner self and that divine peace within all of us. So how do you know the difference? Well, one thing is, people can do exercises and just like fun little exercises at home where, you might have the phone ring and then you try to guess who's on the other end of the phone. Or you might be shopping and you wonder who's going to come around the corner or which elevator might come down faster. And what's amazing, and when I teach my classes, because people have that validation right off the bat, they are just stun themselves about how intuitive they already are. But the other piece is that intuition, and especially when we're connecting to that divine guidance, it feels unconditionally loving instead of the ego mind that says, why do you think you can do that? You can't do that. You're too old. It's the judging mind, right? You're stupid. You're not smart enough. You're all of those things. You're not coordinated enough and all that. And so when we're listening to our intuition, we can oftentimes really feel it. We can feel it in our heart. We can feel it in our gut. When we're focused on just really tapping into that higher sense of ourselves and that divine guidance too, it feels very patient and it feels very peaceful. Even when we're in an emergency situation, sometimes in an emergency situation, everything slows way down and people know exactly what to do. And it's clear, it's direct, it's simple. And going to tell you the same thing every single time. And it typically it will show you an uplifting vision of the future. It's encouraging and it focuses on your learning and stretching and trying new things rather than you know, making you feel like you need to jump off a cliff and, you know, focusing on, oh, that, you know, you might make a mistake here. So, and sometimes the messages are funny and light rather than, you know, dark or where you feel tired and weighted. So those are just a few things, you know.
That's a wonderful description. One of the things I've really been focusing on lately is you use the word simple, is that truth is simple. And I, the more simple something is, the more I go, well, that's it. That has to be it. I also was going to mention my husband is a retired brain surgeon and always prided himself for 45 years in being a wonderful scientist. And then I discovered that in some operations for which people called him a miracle worker sometimes, what had actually happened is he had done the operation that he thought he needed to do, but his intuition would tell him there was something else he needed to look at. And when he would do that, there was usually a problem and he could fix it. So I'm listening to you and I'm thinking about things like that. And I'm suspecting that more of us use our intuition, our sixth sense, our psychic abilities than meets the eye because we haven't talked about it so much and it hasn't been acceptable. But I'll bet you more people do it than we could possibly imagine.
Absolutely. Absolutely people do. And, you know, with people who are predominantly even, you know, left brain, that analytical mind, a lot of leaders will say, you know, Karen, I weigh the pros and cons. I look at the facts. I'm very objective. And when all things are equal, I always go with my gut. And that was the right decision. And really, I can relate, you know, with your husband. My father was also a doctor and a surgeon. And, you know, he would kind of giggle about the word psychic when my mom would bring it up back in the olden days and everything. But back in the 60s. But he was totally psychic because he would pick things up right away that saved people's lives, including my mother's life. So absolutely, we're all listening to it. It's just about really noticing and making decisions based on our intuition, which is a lot of times we don't do.
So I want to talk with you about something very personal here. My sister, my older sister, who was more like a mother to me, even though she was only 2 years older than me, she died in March of 2005. And she had ovarian cancer. Thank you. Anyway, she was adamant that she did not believe in God. She did not. Like I once asked her, as she stayed in our home in the last 7 months of her life, so I asked her if she'd been having any dreams of people in our family who had died previously, and she looked at me with a very disgusted look and said, I'm going to tell you the same thing that I tell other people who want me to verify their beliefs. No. So I've been curious, and since this is your area, I've been curious about whether what my sister might have encountered or whether she's changed in the last 9 years of Earth time anyway. Is she more open to it? Is she accessible to contact? Or does she have the whole same beliefs? Is that something you can find out?
Sure. And I'm sorry about her loss or your loss. And, you know, one thing I know is consciousness with the work that I do daily, you know, consciousness does go on and there's a lot of proof for that. So let me just tune her in here and we'll see what she has to say. Well, she's laughing and she's saying, I was completely wrong and you were right. And then she's saying, as usual.
That's my sister. You got the right person.
She's saying, I could only focus on what I knew at the time. Let me see why that is. She's saying that she was afraid to focus on anything else. And, you know, it's almost like she's saying, what if I thought, if I believe in the afterlife, what if the converse of heaven is also true?
Mm-hmm.
She's talking about it like being a silly joke on people. Let me see what that is. She's like, oh my gosh, because I'm a winner here. I never quite knew that on planet Earth. And she's just laughing and dancing around.
You know,
she's saying, my sister always knows what to do. Tell her she always knows what to do.
My sister worked as a dancer. She taught people dance.
Oh, okay. Okay. Light on my toes. Oh,
right.
Yeah. She's doing wonderfully. I feel like what she's telling me is that she was afraid to see that there might be something else, and which I think is so interesting because oftentimes we think we're afraid that there won't be.
Uh-huh.
That's interesting. Go ahead.
No, I just am grateful to know that she's doing wonderfully. I suspected she was. Is.
Yeah, she is. And actually, I get her she was actually a very brave person on planet Earth, too.
Oh, yes. The way
but
she went about dying, the way she went about dying, and also my gratitude, our birth mother did not take very good care of us, and our father got custody of my sister and me when in 1945 as a single father, because he could prove that our mother was not taking care of us while he was away in the war, and the person who was my parent, who saved me from all the issues of not being able to attach to somebody, is my sister Carrie Ack. And I've been really, really grateful to her, because she was, as a child, she was incredibly bossy. And I've realized that bossiness saved my life.
Oh, that's so wonderful. And, you know, she's so appreciative, too. She's like kissing you on the top of your head. and I'm one of the things that she was saying when you were talking about that is she was saying, I thought that when I passed that maybe I wouldn't matter. And when you were talking about your family upbringing and what happened, you know, with your mom and all that, that's probably where that came from. And she's saying, one thing I know for sure is I matter.
Uh-huh. Good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's saying, you're kind of bossy, too. You steer the ship, too.
She's always done stuff like that. I remember as we started getting older, she was visiting one day, and I looked at her, and I said, wow. She asked me, what was I looking at? And I said, well, you look older. I mean, I'm seeing how your skin is changing and so on. And she said, that's funny. I was looking at you and thinking, you look older, too. So she's done this forever.
Well, she's like, hey, on the other side, that's one less thing we have to worry about.
Well,
but
thank
she's
you
very
for
grateful for you. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
You're welcome.
Curious. And then when I went, oh, you've done this, you connect with these people. And I frankly wasn't sure if she would even want anybody to connect with her, because she was so adamant before she left.
She's like, no. I was wrong. I was way wrong. Mm-hmm. And by the way, one last thing. She's saying you're very determined, and she's saying her hat's off to you.
Oh, good.
You make the world a better place. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I was telling my friend recently, when I was in Ireland traveling with my 8-year-old granddaughter last month, I got lost on the roads and had very great difficulty reading the maps. The names of towns were just confusing. This was, you know, shortly after I arrived. And I was going a distance to a place that was a distance of 2.5 hours from Dublin. And I drove for 9.5 hours. I went all the way to the bottom of the country and round and round. I could not find the road to where I was going.
Oh my goodness.
And my granddaughter was there with me. I mean, I didn't stop for lunch. I didn't stop for dinner. I bought her some food and threw it in the back seat and said, here, eat. I'm doing this. And I kept asking people for help, and I wasn't finding how to get there. And finally, at a gas station, a man just looked at me, took pity on me, and said, follow me. And he drove, and I followed him, and he put me on the right road. So as we were on the right road, finally, I talked about what I had been learning that day. And I asked my granddaughter, who was 8, sitting in the back seat, I said, what have you learned today? Is there anything that you've learned? And she said, yes, Grammy. I've learned that if there's something you want to do and you really intend to get it done and you don't stop until you get it done, you will get it done.
Well, so a good validation for your sister term, and you are, and a great example, you know, for your little one there, that she's like looking up to you, learning a lot. And for the listening audience, you know, quantum duality, you know, thoughts and feelings affect matter, and the nature of particles can be altered. So anything we're determined to do, we can pretty much make happen.
Uh-huh. Well, that was it turned out, you know, speaking of psychic, now I've been working on becoming more aware, and I think had I been a little bit more aware, I might have had a different kind of day. I was supposed to teach a workshop at this place I was driving to, and I missed the workshop. It was in the evening. I never made it to the place. I got there the next day, right? Four of the 5 people who were scheduled for the workshop were still there, so we did hold it. But it turned out that some of the people in the group had been going through some major changes, and a couple of them said to me, we weren't ready for you yesterday. So it was like I had driven all over the country of Ireland because these people weren't ready to take my workshop. I could have gone to the movies or something instead of driving around like
that. I mean, it's almost like your subconscious was picking, right? You know, was picking up on that, right?
Right. That's why I say if I had been more aware, I could have just gone to the movies and saved a lot of gas and stress.
Oh, well, you got there and they were welcoming to you, and look at all the wonderful things that you've done too, Eileen. So obviously your determination is paying off, and you've helped so many people throughout so many years, you know. It's just amazing.
Well,
and I don't know why, but your sister is saying too, she's like, go global, go global.
Okay.
So maybe some more travel, Eileen.
Yes, she was never afraid to travel. She did an amazing thing, Karen. She was a dancer. She did contact improvisation, and she taught here in San Francisco and in Europe. And 7 weeks before she died, when her body was ravaged with cancer, she gave, on 2 different days, she gave an hour-long dance theater presentation. She built it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. And she billed it as The Last Dance and called herself the Cancer Dancer. And it was the most amazing thing.
That is so amazing. And I have no idea how she could do that being so ill. Isn't that something?
Talk about determined.
I mean, that is just. Talk about determined. That just blows my mind. It's just amazing. I actually was doing psychic and medium work for a lady last night who's got ovarian cancer, and it's just amazing to me, you know, the resourcefulness within people and the great strength and courage that people have and at the end, you know, oftentimes at the end of their life. I have no idea how she could get up and dance. So that is just something else.
Well, she just kept herself moving, and I'm kind of laughing to myself, you know. I was a stone around her neck because I didn't realize this till I was close to 30. She was my mother as far as I was concerned, and yet she was a little girl, and so I was like a stone around her neck. And it was very funny that the way she started this presentation was standing up and rocking back and forth as a little girl saying, "I hate Eileen, I hate Eileen."
Oh.
And she'd been very secretive as she was creating the dance here in my home, and she said she was afraid that she would offend me, and I said, "Oh no, I understand why you would feel that way."
Oh my goodness! Well, it's amazing, and I'm sure that you feel connected to her too. And you know, that's the thing. Oftentimes that you know, people when they lose a loved one, oftentimes that loved one will come to them in a dream. When I teach my business classes on intuition, all of a sudden somebody will bring up people in the afterlife, and about 40% of the class will say, "Oh yeah, you know, my loved one I knew when they passed. I knew the exact time. They came to me when I was in my sleep in a dream, or they woke me up and I saw them, you know, at the edge of my bed." And it's really about a different way of communicating with them, because you know, consciousness, I mean, energy can't be created or destroyed, as you know. Uh-huh. So it goes on. It's just learning how to tap into that, and certainly reducing stress is a big part of that, because that is, you were saying at the break, you know, or at the introduction of our second segment, that certainly gets in the way of people being able to think straight, you know, and make smart decisions, and you know, being clear, so and being able to connect to those on the other side and themselves.
So thank you. I have a question about telling the future. For many years, when I was a single parent for 20 years, and a wonderful woman, Kay Hamill, who passed away last year, she was a medium, and she helped me through every challenge. You know, I could go to her and say, "What do I do now? What do I focus on?" And she was so helpful. And one of the things she always cautioned about is, do not beware of psychics or people who call themselves psychic who tell the future. And so when somebody that I knew in Australia referred a man, Manfred Walzer, to me, and he had come to the United States, and he called and offered me a reading, and I said, "What do you do?" He said, "Well, I tell the future." I said, "Well, no thanks." You know, but I was working with a client at that time who had been injured in a playground accident as a child, and he was quadriplegic. He couldn't talk, and he was very interested in what his future was about. And so I thought, well, this person could possibly help my client, but I went and I decided I'd have a reading first to check it out to make sure that I wasn't, you know. And he blew me away. He blew me away. Now, I know that that energy doesn't know time, but how? Tell me, unravel this puzzle for me about should I beware of people who say they're going to tell me the future, or can any of us know what's in the future?
Both.
Oh.
You know, I think that you know, no matter who anyone goes to see, who is, you know, a professional, I think that there's always we always have to look at the competence of the person who's providing the information in any occupation. And I also think that certainly, you know, I've seen some, and I think that having a counseling background is really important too, because I've heard of people where they've told me that a psychic told them when they were going to die, and I thought that is just outrageous. That's not right. I think that people can, obviously they can create their own reality. And so one of the things that I do is when a man had asked me, he said, well, you know, tell me what you get about my occupation going forward. And he was in real estate, and I said, well, I see you owning a restaurant in Newport Beach, totally unrelated to his occupation. And he just choked, and he said, oh, my gosh, that's exactly what I want to do and exactly where I want to be. Mm-hmm. And so that information came very quickly because he knew already what he wanted to do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He knew. So, like, I was doing a show, Crime Wire, and the host had asked me that question too. Well, what's coming up, you know? And I said, well, you're going to go to New York, and then you're going to go to Chicago, and then you're going to do a documentary, and it's going to be about this girl, about the documentary. And he said, Karen, that's exactly what I'm doing. I have those trips scheduled on the calendar, and I've written the documentary, and we're already getting interest in it. So those people knew what they wanted to do. So sometimes, like, when people will see me for career counseling, I'll tell them, you know, really, you can design the future how you want to, and I will look at them in the future. So I will, and I've kind of just learned this myself in doing this work, so I'll ask divine guidance, and I'll get these clues around what their strengths are, and what they're inherently great at, and I'll say, well, that's right. And then I'll also put that person in the future, and so they might say, I want to look 3 years out, and I'll ask that person sitting in front of me, what are you doing 3 years out? And I'll get information that way too. Well, I'm writing a book, and I'm living here. And so sometimes when I've given that kind of information, people have said during the reading, you know, I'm not a writer. I can't even imagine myself writing a book. And then I see them 4 years later, and they're like, you're not going to believe it. I've written 3 books. So I think we have to use, I think that we're given information, that's helpful to people, and I trust that information. I also think that we have to be careful with how, if we're using, you know, our intuition with others, how we give that information.
Mm-hmm.
Am I answering your question?
You know, I don't really know anymore, but I'm very fascinated with what you're saying, so keep going. I want to go on to something else. One of the things, I've been learning to develop my own intuitive abilities here in the last couple of years, and especially as a therapist, the issues of confidentiality and privacy arise. I find that other people I know who are developing their intuition, they go, well, let's see what's going on in the other person, and they just tune right into them. And I go, wait a minute, doesn't that person have a right to privacy? Shouldn't I be asking that person if they want me to have the information? How do you deal with that?
That is right on. And in fact, I had a client yesterday, and she's really excited because she's getting in tune with her psychic abilities. So she's like, yay. And so she's now intuiting what's going on inside people. And I caution, because I said, really, unless they're inviting you to do that, it's kind of not, they may not be ready for that. They're not asking for it. So, and here's the other thing is that, you know, I think when I'm tuning into someone, I'm getting really their, most of the time, their higher self. And what I find is it's really helpful for understanding purposes, because when people really understand what's going on in someone's inner world and really has empathy for what's going on in them, I find that oftentimes the conflict that they're having with someone will subside because they're really understanding where that person is coming from. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly as a therapist, what I find super helpful in my work with clients is that if they're blocked, and we ask for that divine guidance and we, you know, ask that the intuitive information come forward, it helps that person get unblocked because they're going to understand something about themselves that might have been in their unconscious. And when I bring it up, they'll say, oh, my gosh, that's exactly what has been going on, and I didn't even think of it in those terms. And when they can see it from a new perspective, just like we do with traditional counseling, it really helps them move forward. It's just that when we're using the intuitive information, it's so much faster, mm-hmm. and it's very powerful. But really, all of, you know, we're really able to use our intuition when we're coming from a place of love because our emotions, and I know you talk a lot about emotions, all have energy, and love and enlightenment have some of the highest levels of energy and vibration. And so that can only be helpful because it's unconditionally loving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it depends how we use it, but that's certainly how I use it.
Yeah, I want to keep talking with you for a couple of hours here. I noticed this in my connection with you. I was thinking as I was swimming this morning about talking with my granddaughter who was ill and in the hospital last week. She's 9 now, and she's a very intuitive little girl, very sensitive. I would say she's one of our indigo kids, and I was thinking about the fact that sometimes she closes down emotionally, and that what she really needs to know is that she needs to keep the energy in her open and moving. And it struck me that that's something that all of us need to keep in mind. I mean, that's part of what stress is about, is that we hunker down, we close down. Is that the way you would understand
mm-hmm.
it also?
Yeah, and what a great grandma you are. yeah, I think, you know, it's like we have all different ways of numbing ourselves, and I think it's interesting because here we are as souls, and we incarnate in a human body, and yet so much of the time we're trying to do everything to get out of our body. Whether it's through oversleeping or workaholism or alcoholism or drugs or just numbing ourselves and throwing everything under the rug and closing off our hearts because of our past wounding. And so and for me, I had a generalized anxiety disorder. And when I did more to really open up my heart and to create a positively peaceful atmosphere for myself, and did a lot of work on myself, my intuition went through the roof and I was really able to really feel. And so, yes, it's if we really open ourselves up, it's like, you know, when you are sick for a long time and all of a sudden you really open yourselves up and you listen to your intuition and you go outside, it's just like everything is so much brighter and beautiful, like heaven on earth.
Wow.
And in the flow, to your point, instead of swimming upstream. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. So, Karen, you're a management consultant. You're an executive coach. You're a psychic therapist. How is best for people to get hold of you?
Oh, well, thank you for that. So, karensinsight.com, KarensInsight. For people who are interested in counseling or intuitive readings and upcoming events. And then for my corporate consulting practice, that's KarenStorstein.com, and that's StorsteeN.com.
Great. That sounds wonderful. Well, this is my, second contact with you, and I must say, you are a treasure trove of information and also compassion and kindness and love, which Boy, if I had a choice of who to work with, I would come to you.
Oh, Eileen, you're so kind. Well, the same back at ya. Thank you so much. That's so kind of you to say. And thanks for asking such great questions. It was really fun talking with you, and I hope helpful to the listening audience.
Yes. Well, I really appreciate that you bring common sense and so this is what we're having for dinner is the way it kind of sounds, as opposed to this is a, you know, highfalutin something that you can be distressed about. So I really, really appreciate that. I think my own observation is that we are more and more tuning in to these aspects of ourselves, and I really appreciate that you're leading the way by telling people these common sense, simple things. Yes, this is an easy thing for all of us to do. In fact, you're already doing it. Approach. I really like that.
Yes. Oh, good. It is too. Yeah. It's true. Everybody meditate, by the way, 20 minutes a day. It'll rewire your brain.
All right.
Your intuition. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Right. Thank you so much for being with us today on Full Power Living, Karen.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Be sure to listen next week as we find out more about You Are Smarter Than You Think with Renee Molon Masters. That's Thursday, November 6, 2014, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern. Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media has been our producer. Thank you, Producer Paul. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.